I know. Well, by as luck would have it, we have Scotland's number one teacher in the world, possibly, but at least Scotland's number one teacher. Marco's like, oh, geez, I'm not that. and we have an up-and-coming rising top 100 Twitch streamer, Jacob from Jacob's Gaming, who wandered in here because he's like, are you that guy in those StreamYard ads? And I was like, yep. And next thing you know, he's part of the damn show. Oh. And look who's come to join them. Everyone. We've already got a crew here.
Yay.
Chloe Forbes-Kinlan.
Chloe's like, the one who said that Margo is the very best teacher, like, of all time.
Of all time. Not even just Scotland.
Coach
like
Woodard.
World. Coach Woodard.
I'm just going to call it. He's going to be person of the day, this Coach Woodard. Could
happen. So we've got a teacher. We're going to get the perspective from a teacher, and we're going to get the perspective from a Twitch streamer, YouTuber, gamer. And
neither of whom is in class right now.
Yeah, nobody's in class. We're skiving. We're skiving, I think is the word I've learned. The way that Margo didn't look up means I said it right. So here we go.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
I wonder if we could convince our third unpaid employee to make us some new Tim Kitzer graphics.
I love him.
If I beg nicely enough.
Tim Kitzer is so good.
He is. But our third unpaid employee, he could come and make us even more graphics. It'd be nice.
Hey, Fussy.
He's good. He's a good graphics maker. I learned that every time I try to make graphics and they're no good.
Oh, but love him all the same. Who's coming first?
Jacob was coming first until I saw his screen go black.
Oh, he's probably making adjustments.
Probably doing something.
He's very professional.
But look, here's what I do when Dan doesn't make the graphic.
And this question comes all the way from downtown Crazy Town. Kaboom!
That's what I do. And then look what Dan does.
And this question comes from inside the big yard at Folsom County Prison.
Oh, he's so good.
It's like the difference between shooting bullets and throwing bullets.
What I like to imagine is happening at Jacob's when he turns the camera off is that his mom is going, hey, take out the trash.
Okay, hang on.
Take out the trash.
I'm going to do a video,
chef. I'm busy.
All right, let's grab Jacob. We'll ask him himself because he's ready.
Okay.
What's up, Jacob? What happens over there? You're just working on a lot of things at once?
Yeah, I'm trying to fix up my lighting.
It's always the misery of a YouTuber and a streamer is always, how do I get the lighting better? How do I get the angle and all that sort of thing? Mm-hmm. I have a first question for you. So as a Twitch streamer, I tend to think of the channel as, you know, especially because I got into Twitch via watching people game, which is what a lot of people do. You know, you go and watch Ninja or somebody like that, play some Fortnite back in the day. Right. You watch all of the people at Corpse Husband and Valkyrie play Among Us and all that. But you get on there live and you might go down for a walk down the street. And I heard you the other day pumping up some friends and really encouraging them and trying to help them get to their next level of subs that they wanted, subscribers that they wanted, like really being a community guy. So I wanted to start there. How do you view this platform and what does it mean to you? And like, what are kind of your goals and thoughts about it?
I just want to, you know, stream, have fun.
But as part of that, though, you're...
Sell
merch. Are you modeling yourself after any particular streamer, for instance?
I mean, my friend Ethan is a YouTuber, and he basically was like, hey, bro, you should go try streaming. It's really fun. So I tried it, and... Now I like it. It's really fun.
What do you like about it? Do you like talking to other people who come on during the stream?
Or? I like interacting with the chat and everything.
It's cool. A lot more fun when people show up to the chat. My son says the same, actually both of them, but one is really into Twitch at the moment, and it changed everything for him when people started coming around and chatting, and he had somebody to kind of like interact with during and wasn't just talking nonstop. Mm-hmm. Do you narrate all your stuff, Jacob? When you're like, I'm going to get a bowl of cereal. I'm just going to pour this out. Get a little almond milk because I don't like regular dairy. Like, do you narrate your life or does it stop when you're off Twitch?
No, I don't narrate it.
Okay, good.
What up?
It's fine.
What would you say is the biggest collection of the videos that you've put together so far on Twitch? Like, what are you making for shows so far?
My biggest would probably be my Minecraft.
Okay. So, Coach Witter says, for us old guys, can you explain the difference between streaming and just plain old YouTube? Here's your moment, Jacob. Help educate.
So basically, streaming is like you're doing it live, when YouTube is mainly just uploading videos and it's at a later date.
Exactly. There, so Coach Woodard, you are watching streaming right now.
You're doing it.
You've been streaming right for months.
You just didn't know it.
And then when we go put the film on YouTube, the minute we stop recording, then that's what happens there. Jacob, so you did a lot of Minecraft. And Jonathan Harrison, who's written books on why business people should play more video games, has a new one coming. What upcoming game are you looking forward to streaming?
I'm looking forward to streaming like Cyberpunk 2077, maybe some Phasmophobia, some Ark.
Are you, what platform are you playing on, by the way?
Mainly PC.
Okay. Is your box strong enough to do 2077? Like, you've watched all those videos of how bad it runs on so powerful. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It should be able to handle it.
Cool. So you're at an age still where you have to convince your management company to purchase these games for you. How do you get, you know, ye old parents or guardians to decide that it's time for you to
maybe
get
maybe he Cyberpunk funds it with his merch? You don't know.
Well, I asked for like Steam cards and like Visa gift cards for like Christmas, birthdays, Easter, like holidays and that, and I do it that way.
You can't trust your family to choose the games. You can't.
No. No.
I feel like the only kid streaming the lamest thing ever all by herself.
Streaming Baby Shark game.
You could own that market.
You come in contact with a lot of adults, not just, you know, the ones in your domicile, but even out and about. Do you think they don't take you as seriously as you take yourself?
I'm not sure about that one.
Okay.
Jonathan points out that if this is your business, then video games are a business expense for taxes. So when you start earning enough that you actually have to file taxes, get on that.
Get your money back.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite game? So it sounded like mostly Minecraft, but you are looking forward to streaming some new things.
Right. So my favorite game to stream right now is Minecraft.
Right.
But
Fortnite, are you doing mostly survival or creative? What are we doing here?
I do a mixture of both.
Okay.
So right, creative for people who don't play Minecraft is when you're not going to die because mobs of things come at you and
right.
all that stuff, right? You're just like building things like for fun.
Right.
Okay. And survival is when they can totally kill you or you can just starve to death.
Hardcore mode.
Yeah. You look, you actually can starve, which seems like not that fun. Yeah,
infinite resources in creative as well. So that's going to be my next question is, in survival mode, have you ever just toggled over just to get some torches? Don't lie.
Yes.
Okay. Ethan, you heard it there first, Ethan.
Chloe wants to know, what do you think makes a good stream and how do you get people to interact?
Well, for a good stream, what I think is good content that a lot of people watch and what they like. And then what was the other question?
How do you get people to talk to you? Like, how do you get them to interact with you during your stream?
I just post it on Twitter and my Instagram and and I just let them come in when they want and everything.
But once they're there, how do you get them to talk? Because some people will just watch and they'll never say a thing. We have that here. We have people watching now that we don't know are here.
We don't know that are here because they haven't commented.
Well, I'll just start talking like, hey, how's your day going? And if they put it in chat, good. If not, whatever.
Oh, like talk to me or don't. I don't care. That's going to work with girls too when you're older, just so you know. Talk to me or don't. Don't care. And they'll be like, ah.
Or fellas, no judging.
Right, no judging.
So listen, hey, Dave Davies is here. See, we suspected he was here all along, and now we know. he came from Margo from Perth. He's going to hear about all the stuff we got going on, and Carol's here with Jake. So Jake is another Jacob we know, and also likes the games. He's a COD guy for the most part. Nice. What's your well, I have two questions, but I'll go with the one I wasn't about to ask. What's your ideal? Who can you watch the longest on stream? Who's your person that you're like, I could really get into this for a few hours? Nobody bother me. And like you have your, you know, Mountain Dew.
It'd probably be either Tommy in it or Dream. I love watching their SMP series.
SMP, help us out.
It's survival multiplayer Minecraft.
Nice, nice.
Like with no creative. Like you go into creative, you have to start all over again.
That means you don't get any breaks. Like you have to find all the stuff that you need.
Right.
Yourself.
Find diamonds, get netherite. Yeah.
Remember to eat. Mm-hmm. Don't drown. Don't stuff like that.
Right.
Don't fall from a long way up. That kind of thing. Or you will die. See, I don't necessarily know what I'm hearing all the time, but I'm hearing what you're talking about all the time. My kids are always playing that stuff. They do the ones where I don't know how they do it, but someone's like hiding in Minecraft, or they don't want to be found, and then like other people are going all over trying to find them. And
oh, like a manhunt.
Yeah. Those. Constantly.
Yeah, those are fun to do.
Yeah, constantly. But I don't even get it. I'm like, why don't you just like turn yourself into the color of whatever you're standing in front of and don't move? Why doesn't everyone just do that?
Just stay still.
Well, yeah, depends on like how they have the server or world set up. There are name tags.
Okay.
So you can still see the people's name tags.
Elizabeth has a question. Do you ever worry about family crashing your stream? Like your little sister dancing behind you?
All the time. All the time.
Do they, or do they like mostly?
They haven't yet.
Okay.
Today so could be the day.
Respect the stream. Huh. I always threaten to. I never actually do it. My older son would be horrified if I was like, I love you. Mommy loves you.
Oh, no.
That'd be hilarious.
I would have to change my gamer tag, everything.
Well, his Twitter bio just says, my mom says I'm special.
There you go. Oh, Carol has another good question from her Jake to the Jacob. Do you do speed runs?
I have done one and I completely failed.
Do you have a person that you like streaming with? Wow, everyone has all the questions. Oh, this is Ethan fishing for compliments, Jacob.
Right.
I just saw who that is.
I don't know that answer. But yeah.
I know what you have to say. Give him a shout out. It's okay.
Ethan Vogs in gaming. He almost did vlogs, but he did Vogs.
Yeah. I believe he like forgot to put in the L or something, but he hasn't changed it yet. So
I like it better. Keep it that way.
Yeah,
lots of people vlog, but he's the only vlogger.
Right. Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's good to stand out, Jacob.
Listen, when I was growing up, when I was around your age in school, it was not cool at all to be nerdy. Like, it was not cool to play D&D. It was not cool to play video games. Like, you had to kind of hide that stuff if you didn't want to get bullied.
Even but if you now like, liked like, movies too much.
Right.
That was the thing.
You get bullied.
That was me.
But now that is not what you get bullied for. Like, it's a whole different world. Does anyone ever poop on you for this sort of thing? And then what's your response?
Not really, but if they ever did, my response would probably be, I really don't care what you have to say about it. So
that's cool. That's like, powerful.
I'll still keep doing it.
I like it. I like it. It's not always that easy for some people, but it's cool that you've got that mindset. Plus you like roll with a crew. You've got Ethan. I can't remember some of the names. I just watched you doing this whole walking down the street shouting out a whole bunch of people. So.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob's got it all figured out. You're all set. Because when you grow up and you want to do stuff and people tell you it's not a good idea or it won't work, it's the same thing. You're like, I don't care. You don't care. Right. You may not like it, but I do. So.
Right.
Yeah. They told us we'd never go anywhere doing this show, but here we are.
Coach Woodard says gaming was the way my nerdy kids were accepted by the cool kids. Oh. Dave says the correct response is, I'll remember that when I'm your boss. See, but I wouldn't hire some a-hole like that. So Whatever. I don't think so. So what's your goal for streaming then, Jacob? Is it just something you do for fun, or do you have in mind like you want to hit a certain number of subscribers, or like what's your kind of goal for doing it?
I want to hit at least 100 subscribers, but I don't think that's going to happen for a long time.
I think everybody should subscribe today.
What if we got it done this year, though?
That'd be so cool. I mean, Ethan Vlogs and Gaming, he just hit 100 last week, I believe, or the week before.
No way. Twitch or on YouTube or both?
On YouTube.
Ethan, wow. Put your link in the comments.
Yeah. Ethan.
Subscribe.
I'll do it for you.
Yeah, totally will. And actually, I saw, Jacob, sometimes you stream with your cousin, but other people aren't allowed to join. Is that because your cousin or your cousin's parents like don't want other people joining?
No.
Are you just being nice?
No, that's not it. It's just...
No, I'm not nice.
He just doesn't like it when other people join in.
Oh, okay.
There's his channel link.
Oh, cool.
How different is Twitch from YouTube is a question that Ethan wants to know.
There's more streamers on Twitch than there is on YouTube. So
sure. That would make sense.
Right.
I wonder which ones pick the channel now. We were having this conversation. Carrie and I were having this conversation because we're StreamYard streamers, which is there's nobody here, right? Like we're not a gang like Twitch, or we're not a gang like YouTube streamers, but like some of the big guys got money to move around, right? Like you heard about Ninja got money to go to Mixer.
Yeah.
And Shroud got money to go to Mixer.
Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of people. And then Mixer shut down. And they were
Yep. Went into Facebook Gaming. So, yeah.
That's right. So it's a crazy world out there. Can you imagine what it's like someday when somebody's going to be bidding to earn your streaming on their account? Like Ethan and you will be getting these messages saying, hey, we give you an extra bit of money if you come over to us.
That'd be cool.
And you'll be like, no, I'm just going to sell merch.
Well, Jacob, what else do people need to know? Because I got to put you backstage in a second until we bring you back out for the panel. But what else do people need to know that we forgot to ask you?
It's just if you don't feel confident about doing it, well, I didn't at first, but I just gave it a shot thanks to Ethan. And, well, now I'm over here doing it, so... Give it a shot.
Started at the bottom and now we're here. Jacob, You're one of the most confident guys I know in your age category and then some. So you're more confident than a bunch of grown-ups I know. So keep doing you, buddy. Stick around. We're going to put you backstage. Welcome to Being
Beat. Yeah, school can wait.
That's cool. Now we're going right
from... You don't
right
have any, from... anything you have to do?
Oh, don't be this way. You're so good. Hang on, Margo. I'm coming, Margo. If you want to attract interesting Twitch streamers like Jacob, all you got to do is have your own StreamYard. CBrogan.me/StreamYard. Get your little channel and someone will wander in and go, are you the guy from the YouTube commercials? And next thing you know, you're a guest on a show. CBrogan.me/StreamYard. Margo can make a show with Africa every week and people would tune in from wherever they are.
A specific high school, a twin school in South Africa. Yes.
We'll get it handled. Oh, in South Africa, no less. Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to make an audio podcast so you don't have to look at my face, go to castos.com. It is a beautiful place to be. Castos is a podcast hosting platform. Super easy, super inexpensive, made by people I know.
I thought you were just going to say made by people. Like, oh, good to know.
Made by people. Cool. That's ostensibly true. If you want your own .online domain, like jacob.online has a nice ring to it, go to cbrogan.me/online. Stick in the code Chris, all caps. It's $1. You probably have that laying around on some old Visa card you didn't even cash in.
My kids don't value money at all. Like lying around, people give them money for gifts. It just lays around until I deposit it for them.
That's right.
Give it a shot. Words of wisdom for most any endeavor. Janice loves your confidence and energy, Jacob. Chloe says super wise words.
Well, Chloe is the reason we're going to bring Margo into this story because, you know, it's very rare that someone pitches us with such passion, a teacher that they love so much. You know, we all have a teacher that we either love or hate, but this one's Chloe's. So, Dave, yeah, but where are we supposed to buy sausages?
I have coupons, Dave.
I saw Elizabeth holding up a mountain of coupons. She bought a whole bunch for people down in Texas for some shelter, but then saved a few for her dog.
When I said I have free sausage coupons, email me if you would like some. Only two people emailed me one free sausage coupon. And so they got enough sausage to eat sausage for a year. Like just sausage.
Wow.
Because what am I going to do? I can't eat sausage like all day.
You cannot. No. At this point, I'm going to grab our new friend, Margo.
Okay.
Hi, Margo. Good to see you. Hi. You cut class for us, so thank you for that.
She's skiving.
Skiving. New word we learned just today.
Just today. No, from what I understand, you are the best high school teacher in Scotland, at least, if not the world. So what's the secret? Why do people remember you so fondly?
Yeah, besides bribery, what would possess Chloe Forbes-Kinlan to say that about you?
Well, I was going to say bribery is my modus operandi usually, but I mean, first of all, I love my job, and I think that, you know, kids can smell a rat at 50 paces, you know, if you're insincere. That comes across. And I think the fact that I genuinely like young people and I chose the profession. I used to do other things and I chose to do it. And I think any good teacher, it is something that you choose to do because we deal with the most volatile substance known to mankind, teenagers. So, you know, it's not a job for the faint-hearted, but it's a great job.
So you must have liked Jacob backstage.
What a guy. I would have him roped in. He would have my program with Bongani High School. He would be running my classes. What a guy.
He'd be your tech wizard for sure.
That's it, yeah.
So you had other jobs before you taught. Rumor has it one was a competitive race car driver, but I might have that wrong.
I think you got that a bit wrong. No. No. I started off as a sort of youth and community worker. Yeah. In some of our big inner city areas and met a lot of people who had a very negative experience in school. Just like you were saying earlier, Chris, you know, we've all got a teacher we love. I met a lot of people who had a lot of teachers that they didn't love, to say the least. And that just got me thinking about things, about, you know, next step, what am I going to do? So I thought I'd give that teaching thing a go and, here we go.
So what makes a good teacher in your estimation? What do they need to do first and foremost? I imagine it's not anything particularly academic, is it?
To be a teacher, you mean technically?
Well, or do you mean technically, what makes a great teacher? There's a lot of people in there who are just, you know, kind of butt warming, right? But what makes a teacher that people in make go on to video shows years later?
I think all good teaching is based on communication. Yeah? It's based on those relationships you have. That's what you remember from the person that's in your head right now that you think is your good teacher, is the relationship that you had with them, that positive relationship. And that's what good learning and teaching is built on. And if you're not willing to do that, you know, if you think you're in there to teach maths or I teach social subjects, forget that. You're there to teach young people. And it's the whole basis of that is that communication, you know? And if you're not willing to listen, then you're not going to get very far.
I think the teachers that I liked the best are the ones that made an effort to figure out where we were kind of in our lives and then make their content relevant.
Yeah.
So like they understand. The best teachers understand that what you're dealing with at this point in your life is, you know, a little different than we would be looking at later.
Yeah. And, you know, never has that been more true than in the current situation. You know, we've just come back to school after nearly 4 months in lockdown, you know, with young people at home in all kinds of difficult circumstances, you know, with parents that are trying their best, also in difficult circumstances. You know, and we've come back in today and, you know, yesterday. And as a staff, we were just saying, you know, the last thing that anybody's going to go and do is point the finger at why was that work not done? That would be entirely inappropriate, you know.
Right.
We've got other things to worry about just now. Get the young people back in. Try and listen to that anxiety. Don't feed it, but try and listen to it. you know, get it down a bit, because as youngsters heading, that should have been heading towards exams, now we're doing sort of assessments rather than exams. They're worried about that, you know. So it's a really anxious time for all our young people. So it's about listening to them and trying to see where they are and, you know, get a lid on this anxiety.
In your own, right? I mean, a lot of teachers had to go back to the classroom maybe before they felt completely comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So you have to, must be really hard to keep your own emotional response to the pandemic and everything else happening around you in check so that you can help the young people, but at the same time, let them see that it's okay to feel anxious, because everybody does.
Yeah, for me, that's a big thing. You know, I think when I was at school, certainly you were supposed to conform, you know, to the rules, and it was all about the curriculum and not about you as an individual. So for me, the opposite's true. You know, it's got to be about the individual learner here. And you've got to take that on board. You can't get rid of anxiety. Anxiety is a normal part of our lives, and people across the globe are very anxious about this. So to pretend that we're all back in and everything's normal, it would just be a farce. So you've got to walk that line and say, things are difficult, but, you know, we're all in here helping each other.
Chloe asks, how do you think your past work helped you connect to students, especially those who maybe didn't fit in?
Well, it's a real eye-opener being a youth and community worker in some of our big inner cities, wherever it is you live, your side of the Atlantic or ours. And I just got to meet a whole range of different people from a huge variety of different backgrounds. And as a young woman, learned really quickly that there are lots and lots of issues that affect people's education, and not just, you know, their ability, you know, or their willingness to do homework, you know, or whatever. That I learned really young that there are things that are barriers to learning, family circumstances, home life, caring, you know, things that I'd never thought of in my life before I'd gone through education and been successful at it. And I think that that's a problem for a lot of teachers, because we have been successful in education. And although we've got a theoretical idea about what's a barrier to learning, I think we maybe need to broaden that out. I mean, it's very different now from when I joined the profession, so about 20 years ago. It is different. Teachers are trained differently and they think differently. But when I came in, it was like, oh, what are you talking about? You know, what do you mean that might be an issue? You know,
Jacob's taking the trash out.
Oh,
his mom said, more rulers on knuckles and stuff, maybe 20 years
ago. Yeah. It was still that end of that sort of thing.
My mom went to school with nuns and they taped her mouth because she wouldn't shut up.
Could you imagine?
I mean, if you knew her, could you blame them? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
So I want to move over to this work you've been doing. You decided, I think we'll go find a sister city, and I think we'll go find a school to connect with. And you settled on a place called Bongani, which is in the Republic of South Africa. Yeah. How do you start that process at all? Is there like some kind of Tinder for schools?
There actually was. I don't think it exists anymore, but there was a thing called the League of Commonwealth Teachers. What an organization, yeah. But they gave you money to link up. And Scotland has got a close relationship with South Africa through the anti-apartheid movement from way back. So actually, it was the authority that I worked in, the head of education, had a link in the Northern Cape part. And then it all went from the top, and I was the one at the bottom that actually had to go out and do the job, you know? So all the powers that be had met up and made big plans. And then I got sent out to the school. So through that League of Commonwealth Teachers, and I went out for a few months to work there and made lifelong friends. What can I say? That again, built on that Links Built on Relationships that we started back then. We've expanded it to other teachers and young people. In fact, one of the teachers now in another school in Perth went on the first trip to Bongani High School back in 2005. So he's now a teacher in another school and developing those kind of links as well. Yeah.
That's incredible. What do you find is common? So when you go to, say, South Africa or whatnot, and maybe even after the class, and maybe you're having a little pint somewhere, what's the conversation like quietly amongst teachers about what's the same and what's absolutely not?
Absolutely the same as what I said about good teachers. They're interested in young people and their circumstances, and the talk is always for good teachers about how did that go. So people would come in to, I would go in somebody's class and think, wow, how did they do that, you know? And especially us, they're doing it, they've got a new school now, but when I started there, they were in literally just the building, that was it. No technology, no computers, you know, no whiteboards, screen, you know, that I was back, somebody handed me a piece of chalk. And I thought, what have I to do with this? You know, where are my resources? Yeah. You know, you had to queue up at the photocopier machine. You know, they actually had one of these bands. I mean, I don't know if you know what that is, these reproductive things.
Yeah.
So just watching these people do this was absolutely awesome for me. The building on those relationships, using, deploying different strategies with the kids. So that is the kind of chat. And, you know, the downside as well is always like how bad the managers are, how good the world would be if we ran education, you know.
So one question I have is that Bongani, one's going to guess, has it a little more rough than Perth. But Perth isn't exactly, you know, luxurious. You know, you're not all driving your Rolls around.
No, it's not.
Did it change your perspective on your resources, or did it just make you realize that worldwide teachers get the bad end of the stick?
No, not at all. I mean, one of the classes I went in, they've got a different way of organizing things. So we've got regulations, as you'll have in the US, about how many pupils can be in a class.
Right.
And we've got between 30 and 33. I sat in a room and I thought, how many kids are coming in here? There were 60 in one room. That's not uncommon.
Wow.
Things have improved, as I say, since then in that community. So it did make a question the resources that we have, you know, that we take for granted as teachers. And not that I want to take that away from anybody. I just want all the kids to have those resources and all those opportunities. And great listening to Jacob. And one of the things that came back to me is I was speaking to the learners at Bongani last year, yeah, when we just made it to South Africa and came home and it was locked down 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And I was speaking to them and I said, you know, what's just asking, what's good about your school? What's, you know, what do you think would improve? And it's internet. And one of the things that came up in the conversation is the thing that they thought was the biggest barrier was a lack of access to internet that they had in the school and in the community, you know, and that's such an easy thing to fix, you know, that connects these young people to our school, to other resources, you know, you just think it's so basic, you know. So
if people want to support your program, how can they do it?
Well, we're just a school-to-school program, really. They're our link school. One of the things that they help us with is we study South Africa in our curriculum. I don't know if you guys know, but I taught Chloe in modern studies. It's a uniquely Scottish subject. It's a mixture of politics, a little economics and sociology. And we study UK, Scottish politics, economics, sociology, and we do USA and our S4. We do South Africa in the senior school. So when we speak to the school, they help us with their curriculum. They are our resources because that's what we're studying. So our link is there. We do some fundraising. We've not obviously been doing any this time. But if anybody had any resources that they wanted to donate, any technology in particular, any help for us, that would be great. Just to contact.
Throw a big bag of money over at Margo, you guys. Let's do
it. Yeah, a big bag of money would be would be wonderful.
Not euros, though. Like
no.
Real money.
Real money.
Yeah, real money.
Real money. And all the money we raise goes to the school 100%. See, we don't knock off any expenses or anything.
Not even for like a cup of tea. Come on.
Not even for a cup of tea. Not even a pint.
I have one more question that's apropos of nothing, but I always think these things.
What's that? A question that's apropos of nothing, Christopher?
And this question comes all the way from the second stall, the men's room at the Home Depot, just outside of Lansing. You know, I've never been able to locate a restroom at the Home Depot. Not at once. I just go in the drywall aisle. No one's around.
Oh, boy. All right. So first, to display my ignorance of Perth, I had no idea that seafood would be so popular. But if you go out to eat in Perth, you might be, you know, given some fish. You might be given even some oysters and things like that. I would have thought maybe a lot of meat pies or maybe, you know, lamb or something, right? But what did you eat in Bangani? That's what I want to know.
Okay. South Africans are big on meat. If you're a meat lover, go to South Africa. Yeah, okay. Any kind of meat. And if you like cheese on everything, even better. Cheese on your meat. That's what they love. They love to barbecue, which they refer to as braaiing. Yeah, a braai. And my favorite side order with my braai is chakalaka.
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 Didn't they have like a hit back in the early noughts?
Yeah.
Music group.
What is a chakalaka?
It's like a spicy bean salad, you know, like a side salad that you would, side order that you would have with a barbecue. Yeah.
Wow. To look at it, it looks like someone mixed SpaghettiOs and beans and then threw spices in it. That's what I'm looking at. There looks maybe to be some pasta in it. I can't tell. And chopped tomatoes.
All
maybe that's not the one you had.
Yeah, they'll all have their own recipes, and each one will be the best one. Yeah.
Okay. Of course, yeah. Well, we're going to grab Jacob
red
back.
Wine.
Oh, and red wine.
Wine.
Oh, South Africans. Yeah. Some great red wines. Ooh,
yeah,
good point.
Wonderful.
Ah, Jacob, you're back, buddy. We've dragged you back into this mess. You
took the trash out.
Got a snack.
No, mother, I cannot emphasize enough. I am on television.
Doritos, is that breakfast?
No.
Okay, that's just snack.
So William's asking for the link. Perthhigh.net, I think.
William just comes in and asks for the link every day, though, so.
This is the link, William. Today, this is the link. Jacob, how does a program like that Marco's running sound to you? Like a sort of an exchange with a twin school in South Africa?
Sounds pretty good.
It's cool, right?
Sounds, yeah.
You got to wonder, if they don't have as much tech, though, you got to wonder, you know, we did I used to run this event called PodCamp, and we did PodCamp in Cape Town, South Africa. And to get Wi-Fi, one of them had to climb a tree and put a little device up there and then bring it back down to everybody else.
Wow.
That's how we knew we were in a slightly different area. What would you do, because you can't do streaming, if you went over to the high school over there?
Yeah.
I'd go crazy.
Just stand on a box and start talking to people.
Margo, did you experience that with your Scottish people coming over to Bangani? Like suddenly their devices don't work at all, that sort of thing?
Yes. And I'd say that there's positives and negatives to that. Yeah. It was actually, it used to be not until we got to Cape Town that they could get good reception anywhere. And as soon as you got to the hotel in Cape Town, so we'd leave Bangani after a week or so, and then we travel down through the Karoo National Park and then get to Cape Town. And suddenly the first evening's dinner, everybody is like this. You can't see them anymore. And you just realize, like, for 10 days, you saw everybody's face, yeah?
They got to get those Instagrams caught up.
Exactly. We were like, oh, no.
And nobody knows we're here.
So, And you had to walk to the sort of place where we stayed. You had to, like you're saying, up the tree, you had to walk to certain spots to even get phone reception on the phone mast. But things have improved. Last year when we were there, the place that we stayed had Wi-Fi. And I actually felt it was a bit disappointing. That they were all, it was like, just like being in Perth, you know, instead of being very different for them. But, you know, the world moves on and that's great. And since 2000, you know, when I look back, Jacob, you won't believe this, that in 2005, people had to email each other. It was the only communication.
Wow.
In the schools. Yeah. And the school, not every young person in the school didn't have an email address. So the kids here had to email one teacher in Bongani. But now they're all, now everybody, can you imagine a world like that?
You're waiting around for a teacher to check their email? That could be a while.
That's crazy.
Nothing important is going to be said if a teacher's reading it.
You know what I'm thinking? This is all reminds me of Lual Mayan, who was, his family were refugees, and he grew up in a refugee camp in Uganda. I think they're originally from South Sudan. And he wanted a computer. He saw a computer one time and was like, I really, like, you just changed his whole perspective. And so his mom saved up for, I want to say a year. She did laundry and stuff, saved up for a year, got him a computer. He had to walk 3 hours to charge it somewhere and use it.
No power in the refugee camp, so he had to walk.
And now he's a video game executive. Like, he developed his own video game, and it's about refugees. Actually, his mom was the inspiration for the main character, and it's got the social tie-in that you buy food for the refugees in the game, and you're buying food for real refugees. So it's really cool. So look,
do you know what the game is called?
Salam.
It's called Salam. Like the way it's not fully out yet. I don't think. I think it's in testing mode, but. It's salam, like the greeting to people in in Arabic. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I'll get you his Twitter because I love him. But anyway, that's what I was thinking of. Like, you think emailing is old school, right? Try literally going 3 hours just to charge a computer so then you can maybe try it. Wow. Yeah. And he is amazing. So
we somehow magically came to pretty much the end of the show. So we got to do a couple things here.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
It could have been anybody. Could have been William with his weird owl request of link. But we're going to give it to our pal Ethan. Ethan will be our person of the day today.
That's exciting.
So that entitles you to one free apple, Ethan. You just got to go to the store and buy it. And then it's yours for free.
Wash it really good, though, before you eat it.
Carrie says wash it. And now we're at a part of the show where we ask every guest that we've ever had on the show the same question, which is, what goes in your backpack? Now, this could be something physical, and it could be something metaphorical. Carrie, what's a good physical thing people could throw in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth.
You just never know.
You never know. And Carrie, what's a great metaphorical one?
Kindness. I also like fearlessness and vulnerability. But court ordered, I have to say kindness for a while.
You have to say kindness for a while.
Yep.
All right. So now we have to ask our fine guest that question. Jacob of Jacob's Gaming, what should go in your backpack?
Commitment.
I love it. I love it. Commitment to the work that you're putting in, right? To make this show every day. It's not easy, right? You don't, when you're telling your friends that you're working on the 100 subs, it's not easy.
Oh, no. Trust me. It ain't.
With you.
You got to show up and show up again and again and again when other people are like, can't you just do something else?
Top four teachers in the entire planet Earth. Margo, what goes in your backpack?
Well, apart from a pen, because teachers always have a pen.
A clicky pen?
Clicky pen, yeah. Like my good clicky pen, yeah. I think a metaphorical mirror. I think we need a mirror because we need to reflect on what we've done, who we've done it to, and how we can do it better.
So that's Odell O'Shea Jackson Senior. He said you have to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah. So that would make sense. He's an American poet. he would have done it. O'Shea Jackson Jr. being also.
I'm not going to dignify it.
Come on. He's also known as Ice Cube. Ice Cube. All right. So here we go. We got to get ourselves out of here. My grandmother had never been to South Africa, but my grandmother was raised in the time of rulers on knuckles. And so one thing she would say about school teaching is, if you can't be good at school, be good at fighting. And here's another example she had.